Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During August, we have been talking about the miracles of Jesus. Today, we examine one of his most famous miracles, where he walks on water. Now, Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher of all time. He could turn any situation into a lesson. He could take a hungry crowd in a field and turn it into a lesson of God's provision. He could take a trap laid by the teachers of the law and turn it into an explanation of why love matters more than anything. His classroom could be anywhere in any situation. Today, his classroom will be a boat tossed about by a storm in the middle of the night, and his students are 12 men who are scared out of their wits. Jesus teaches them four important lessons in the midst of the storm. Let's listen to the master teacher, because for them, and for us, class is now in session. What are four lessons that Jesus teaches in the midst of the storm? Well, the first lesson is this: be courageous. When the disciples first see Jesus walking to them on the water, they immediately become fearful and superstitious. They think it's a ghost. Jesus wants to assure them that he's not some apparition. He is their Lord and Savior. Matthew 14:27, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Over and over again, God urges his people not to be afraid. Every time the angels appeared, their first words are, fear not. When Joshua takes over from Moses to lead God's people, God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So while we're talking about courage, let's define what courage is. Courage does not mean the absence of fear. It does not mean never being afraid, never feeling the feeling of fear. Fear is not a sin. Fear is a natural emotion that helps us to and keeps us safe. So courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you feel afraid, but you do the right thing despite the fear. So let me just give you an example. Suppose you're walking through the woods, you see a grizzly bear and it chases after you. Fear is the right reaction. Fear will fill your body with all sorts of good chemicals that will enable you to run the fastest you have ever run in your life. That's not sinful. It's just called, being safe. It's called being sane. The fear fills your body with chemicals so you can run the fastest you've ever run in your life. So fear can be a good thing. But now let me show you what courage is. Suppose you're walking in the woods with a friend and you come upon a grizzly bear and he starts to chase you. Both you and your friend start to run, but your friend trips over a branch, twists his ankle. He can't run away. He's a sitting duck for the bear. Your fear will tell you to run away. Leave your friend to the bear. It's not your problem, but you and I both know that's wrong. You know the right thing to do, the thing that God wants you to do in that situation would be to help your friend, even if it means risking your own life. Courage is when you're afraid, but you still do the right thing. You still help your friend. You still do what needs to be done in that situation. Fear is real. Fear is sometimes helpful, but it's not our master. And it doesn't make our decisions for us. We do not live in fear. God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to be courageous so that we might do the right thing. The source of our courage is God's very own presence. What does God tell Joshua? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does it say in Psalm 23? Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so Jesus, the first thing he says to his disciples as he's walking along, he sees their fear, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. What gives them courage? The presence of Jesus Christ. We can always be courageous because we know Jesus Christ is always with us. He promised us at the end of the book of Matthew, lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because of this courage that comes from the presence of the Lord, that means we can do the second lesson that Jesus taught his disciples that day. to walk by faith and not by sight. When the disciples see the Lord walking on the water, when they hear his voice, they are strengthened and they are comforted. The Lord's presence gives them courage, stronger than their fear. But Peter, the man of action, takes it to the next level, as Peter so often did. Look at what he does, Matthew 14:28-29. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Peter, so encouraged by the Lord's presence, by the power of his word, so strengthened by his presence, asked to be part of the miracle, just as he was and the other disciples were with the feeding of the 5,000. Now, Peter is not being foolish. He is not being foolhardy. He doesn't just get out of the boat and start walking. He checks with the Lord. He will only do this, only if it's his will. Only if it's the Lord's will Peter step out in the water. And it is the Lord who personally invites Peter to come. Peter, miraculously, begins to imitate Jesus and walk on the water. What an incredible moment, a moment that no doubt Peter would always remember. Peter is walking on the water with his Lord, by the Lord's power and by the Lord's command. At this moment, Peter is truly walking by faith, not by sight. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, "So we are always of good courage, for we walk by faith, not by sight." One minute, Peter's heart is filled with fear. The next, the word of Jesus empowers and encourages him to take an incredible step of faith. The fear is gone. The faith given by the Holy Spirit has replaced it. That's how the Lord wants us to live our lives, walking by faith, not by sight. And that means putting our focus on Jesus and not on the storm, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. To walk by faith means to be focusing on Jesus, not on the size of the waves around us. Now, Peter did that for a few moments, but soon his sinful human nature kicked in. He felt the wind, he sees the size of the waves, and he takes his focus off Jesus. His heart filled with fear again, and then he begins to sink. Walking by faith in a world filled with storms isn't easy. Peter finds himself in trouble really quickly. That can happen to us when we are walking through the storms of life. The waves and the problems and the challenges look so big. It's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to take our eyes off of Jesus and focus only on our problems. And if we do that, our courage begins to fade. But the good news is, we don't walk alone, and neither did Peter. Whether it's walking through the valley of death or walking on the water in a terrifying storm, the Lord goes with us every step of the way. He's not only our Lord, but he is our Savior. And that's lesson number three. The first lesson, of course, is that we should be courageous. The second lesson, we should walk by faith, not by sight. The third lesson, Jesus is our Savior. See, he's not just our teacher. He's not just our Lord. He is our Savior who helps us in our time of need. Notice what the scripture tells us. When Peter began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." A few minutes later, After thinking carefully and weighing his options, Notice what it says. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus is not far away. Jesus is always with us. And that is our reason for courage. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you, and you will honor me. Jesus is the one who can help and save us in our times of trouble. And he is going to be there for us because he has done it before. When we were drowning in the power of sin and death, Jesus reached down and pulled us out. Through his death and through his resurrection, Jesus pulled us out of the deep, dark waters of sin and death. He pulled us out of the abyss and into everlasting life. And one day, he will rescue us permanently from this world of death, from this vale of tears, and bring us to himself and heaven, into the kingdom of everlasting righteousness, love, and joy forever. He is our teacher, our Lord, and our Savior, but he's even more than that. In this miracle, Jesus teaches a fourth lesson to his disciples. He is the King of creation. Jesus is the greatest teacher of all time, but he's much more than that. He's God in the flesh, the creator of the universe, the King of creation. When Jesus comes to rescue his disciples, he comes in a way that only he can, walking on the water. 3 miles of open water in the middle of a storm is no obstacle for the King of creation. He knows his disciples are in trouble, and he is coming to their rescue. Then, when Jesus gets in the boat, immediately the storms are calmed. Matthew 14:32-33. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The wind ceases, the storm stops, and everything is calm again. The first time Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples wondered in awe. They wondered all about who Jesus is. Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? But now there are no doubts. There are no questions about his identity. Instead, they simply begin to worship him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now remember, we were talking about the boat. The boat started out as a means of transportation from getting from point A to point B, getting them across the Sea of Galilee. But it becomes more than that as the events unfold. By the arrival of Jesus, it becomes a classroom where Jesus teaches his disciples 4 important lessons. Number 1, be courageous. Number 2, walk by faith, not by sight. Number 3, Jesus is our Savior. And number 4, Jesus is the King of creation. But then, by the end of this event, it has been transformed once more. The boat has now become their church, their sanctuary, where they worship Jesus as their Lord, their Savior, and the King of creation. Truly, you are the Son of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.